Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is a Minghui report entitled A Sacred Destiny by Minghui correspondent Shen Rong. The article was published on the Minghui website on November 26, 2020. If the fabric of life is woven with countless destinies, and if every crossing in this life is predetermined by hundreds of connections from previous lives, what an endless wait it would take to find the heavenly ladder that leads to one's true origin. Huang Chengmei was born the seventh of 10 children in a farmer's family in Taiwan. She grew up in a frugal but warm family. Her father worked several jobs and her mother took care of both the farm work and housework. Chengmei will always remember how her whole family helped each other through difficult times during her childhood. At the age of 23, Chengmei argued with her parents for the first time in her life because they had arranged her marriage without telling her. "One day, I went to look for my sister at her workplace, but her boss told me she had left to go home. She asked, 'Isn't your engagement day today?' My mind went blank," Chengmei recalled. "I rushed home and cried as I slammed the door open. 'How could you arrange my engagement without telling me?' she asked." Her father explained in tears, "I have asked around. The man is an honest man. If you don't agree, I'll beg his family on my knees to break it off and wash their door lintel," a traditional apology ceremony. Chengmei was raised to be an obedient daughter and couldn't stand to see her father cry, much less be punished because of her. "I told myself to accept my destiny even if it would be an unhappy marriage," she said. Chengmei accepted her destiny, and day after day, year after year, the heavens didn't forget her sincere desire to pursue the true way of cultivation. Part 1. Encountering Falun Dafa. On October 7, 1995, Chengmei went for a walk around a mountain near her home and saw several women doing some exercises together. As if she had found her destiny, she instinctively put down her umbrella and copied their movements. However, she was too shy to ask the women about the exercises they were doing. Chengmei went home and deeply regretted not asking them about the exercises. She went to the same place at the same time a couple of days later and waited for a long time, but didn't find any of the women. Given her passive personality, Chengmei would have usually sighed and returned home. But something told her that she shouldn't give up this time. "I tried going to the same place at different times for many days and finally found them. I summoned my courage and asked them what exercises they were doing. They told me it was Falun Gong, and I could learn it for free at Yangming Mountain. My heart was shaken when I heard the words Falun Gong, as if I had enlightened to something." Chengmei and her husband drove to Yangming Mountain but didn't know where to learn Falun Gong. A vegetable vendor told them to climb the stairs and they would see it. Just like the episodes about seeking the way in legends and martial arts novels that I had yearned for since I was young, we climbed flights of stairs up the mountain, asking people all along the way, and finally reaching a flat area. A man was telling the people in a group, "Falun Gong is beyond physical exercises. We have to study the Fa and cultivate our Xin Xing. These are the most important." It turned out that the group on Yangming Mountain was the very first Falun Gong group exercise site in Taiwan. We learned the five exercises and borrowed a copy of Juan Falun from the site coordinator, Mr. Zheng. He told us that it was a precious book and that he would only loan it to us but never sell it. I held the book to my chest and felt the joy of holding a treasure. To learn the book faster, my husband and I copied the book by hand. I did it during the day while he continued at night. Master Xuanzang in Journey to the West walked a 10,000-mile pilgrimage to obtain the true Buddha scriptures. Buddha Maurepa overcame thousands of tribulations to seek the way. The stories of people longing for their true origin have been passed down generation after generation. Though Chun Mei didn't fully understand the meaning of cultivation at the time, she copied each word with an earnest and pure heart, and with the joy of obtaining the heavenly law she had long been waiting for. Part 2: Meeting Master Li in Person. Master Li Hongzhi introduced Falun Dafa to the public in China in May 1992, and the practice spread quickly by word of mouth. Practitioners found their diseases had disappeared and their minds had broadened. Their families and friends also started to cultivate after witnessing the tremendous changes in practitioners. Within a few short years, Falun Dafa was welcomed by people all over China. Falun Dafa was first introduced to Taiwan in 1995, and Chun Mei and her husband were among the first group of people there who found their destiny intertwined with Falun Dafa. Chun Mei didn't learn the practice to treat diseases, but she witnessed her husband's health improve through the practice. He used to take a lot of Chinese herbal medicine, but his health remained poor. He had to take medicine over 200 days each year. After he started to cultivate, he stopped taking medicine and quit drinking. His health markedly improved. Cultivation took Chun Mei's life into a new chapter. I learned the meaning of life, which completely changed my view of everything. I gained a bigger heart and started treating things with ease. I no longer lived for personal gain and put others before myself. In 1996, Chun Mei and dozens of other Taiwanese practitioners went to Beijing for the first Falun Dafa International Experience Sharing Conference. She was moved to tears by fellow practitioners sharing about how they had improved their xinxing in the face of excruciating conflicts or humiliation. Some fellow practitioners in mainland China lived in such hardship, but they truly applied truthfulness, compassion, forbearance in their everyday lives and made tremendous improvements deep down in their thinking. As Chun Mei and others were having dinner the day before they left Beijing, a deafening wave of applause arose. Chun Mei looked up and saw Master Li standing there, smiling. Master told us to sit down and finish our dinner and said he would give a talk after dinner. I couldn't help but approach him and tell him that I was from Taiwan. Master happily shook hands with me. I was so excited afterward that my hands were too shaky to pick up my food. My mind wasn't on dinner anyway. We cleaned up the table and moved to the chairs that were lined up. Fellow practitioners in Beijing reserved the first five rows for practitioners from overseas. Master taught profound principles in simple language. Chun Mei felt like the luckiest child in the universe. I'm an introvert. I surprised myself when I took the initiative to talk to Master. He treated me so compassionately and benevolently, like a father. I cried in my heart, "I have a master. I have a master." Every second of that evening was deeply impressed into Chun Mei's memory. Part 3: Telling the World About the Persecution. Chun Mei couldn't believe it when she heard the Chinese Communist Party had started arresting Falun Gong practitioners in July 1999. Those kind-hearted and tolerant people that she met in Beijing, as well as hundreds of thousands of practitioners around China, started to be slandered overnight. Even worse, they were imprisoned and tortured. Chun Mei's heart was heavy with sadness. To counteract the CCP's atrocities, Chun Mei, an ordinary housewife, started traveling around the world to participate in activities to expose the persecution. Going abroad wasn't easy at the time. We took sleeping bags and had to stay in cellars and old stadiums. I remember it was dark when we reached a stadium one day. It wasn't until I woke up the next morning that I found I had been sleeping on top of a manhole cover. Many of us took instant noodles with us to cut travel costs. Chun Mei learned some English words, and in Washington, D.C., Geneva, New York, Moscow, and other places around the world, she collected signatures on petitions to stop the persecution. I hoped other governments and mainland Chinese tourists would learn about the persecution and support justice. Such a great cultivation practice shouldn't be persecuted. It belongs to the world. I have personally benefited from it and have the responsibility to tell more people. As the CCP persecution gained more attention, the number of practitioners in Taiwan surged. Close to 1,000 exercise sites were established around Taiwan. Hundreds of thousands of Taiwanese started to practice Falun Dafa. Chun Mei's experience is similar to thousands of Falun Gong practitioners around the world. The situation around the world has changed drastically in recent years. I have no worry or fear, no matter what happens, because I strongly believe that divine beings are in control. I have been blessed with a sacred destiny. I must hold on to it tightly. No words can describe Master's profound compassion. All I can do is tell more people that Falun Dafa is great, and the rare chance to cultivate that we have been waiting for is here.
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled Changing My Resentful and Overbearing Nature by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 2, 2024. From the time I was little, I gambled, swore, and got into fights. People knew my reputation and would turn and walk away when they saw me coming. When children in my village misbehaved, their parents would threaten to tell me about it, saying, "I'll take you to his house if you keep misbehaving," and the kids would straighten up right away. I was considered worse than the boogeyman, and both young and old were afraid of me. In 2014, my wife was diagnosed with cancer and had two surgeries to remove lymphoma from her neck. There was no improvement after the surgeries, and the doctors gave up on her. She then learned Falun Dafa and recovered from her illnesses. It was incredible. We both became practitioners in 2014. Although I became a practitioner and improved a lot, I still had not gotten rid of my deeply rooted attachments. I was domineering and got upset when things didn't go my way. A few days ago, my wife and I visited a couple who were both practitioners. The husband said, "I'd like to build a small house," and I asked Alan, who is another practitioner, "what is the most cost-effective way to build it?" I was furious when I heard this, and I said, "Alan, what does he know?" At that point, I didn't recognize my preconceived notions about Alan. When the husband started describing his plans for the house, I became frustrated and said, "You don't know what you're talking about. Let me find someone to help you." My attitude and tone of voice were harsh, forceful, and very condescending. His wife made a comment saying, "We should cultivate our speech and shouldn't be too forceful." I realized right then that I was being unkind, but I didn't admit it because I wanted to save face. On our way home that night, my wife told me that I had been overbearing, unkind, and looked down on the other couple. I knew that I had been wrong, and I thought, "I want to improve, and I will treat others with kindness from now on." I work as a delivery truck driver, and a few days later, my wife was coming with me on my route. On the way back from work that evening, my company texted me an image of our vehicle inspection procedures. My wife reminded me, saying, "Make sure you keep it and don't delete it." I thought she meant to belittle me and got upset right away, so I screamed at her, "You think I'm a 3-year-old? Am I that dumb?" My wife replied, "That's not what I meant. You like to delete things right away, and I was afraid you might delete something important." My attitude toward her was unchanged, and I said, "No, you meant to belittle me, etc., etc." She was speechless and didn't say anything for the rest of the trip. I was still angry and thought, "You were looking down on me earlier, and now you won't even speak to me?" Then something suddenly went wrong, and one entire side of my body started hurting and went numb. My wife came home that evening after group study and didn't say a word to me all throughout dinner. This made me even angrier, and at bedtime I said, "You're still angry at me? Now one whole side of my body hurts, and I can't move my arm or leg on that side," and then went on with several harsh accusations toward her. She replied, "I'm not angry at you. I just don't dare to talk to you right now. I hope you can calm down and look inward. You are constantly complaining about things and consider yourself better than everyone else. Your not feeling well is a reminder that you should look inward and correct your own flaws." Her words finally broke through and woke me up. I had misunderstood her, and I didn't behave as a practitioner should. My overbearing attitude, constant complaints, and looking down on others are attachments that need to be eliminated. A practitioner should be compassionate and calm, and not forceful and aggressive. I've had these traits since I was young, and now they are big obstacles that I have to remove. I should treat cultivation seriously and improve. Otherwise, it's the same as not cultivating. Once I saw that I was wrong, I sent forth righteous thoughts to eliminate the false self that was controlling me. I apologized to Master, saying, "I'm wrong. I'm determined to improve and not let Master down." As I prepared to do the exercises the next morning, all the discomfort had disappeared. I hadn't asked Master to eliminate my pain. I just wanted to acknowledge my mistakes, and the discomfort then went away. I thanked Master and apologized to my wife for my bad attitude. I also planned to apologize to that couple when I see them because I didn't behave the way a practitioner should. People who are indoctrinated by the Chinese Communist Party don't apologize, even when they make mistakes. I want to remove the party's indoctrination because it makes a person overbearing, intolerant of others, and unwilling to cooperate. These traits are the opposite of the traits of a cultivator who quietly helps others. These attachments have been bothering me for some time, but I didn't know how to get rid of them. Therefore, I'm exposing them in this article to help eliminate them. The villagers know that I practice Falun Dafa and have seen me change. After interacting with me, they can see that I'm much friendlier now.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled "Looking Within Deeply and Letting Go of Jealousy" by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Mingwei website on January 29, 2024. When I reached the section Jealousy and Drawn Falun while memorizing the Fa, I understood that I must let go of jealousy. To deepen my understanding of it, I spent 2 more days memorizing the section by heart. Master Li, the founder of Falun Dafa, made arrangements to help me improve right away. I live with my 88-year-old mother. One day, my sister-in-law came back from out of town. Her husband, my younger brother, asked her to come take care of my mother for a few days to show some filial piety. I thought I could relax for a few days. My sister-in-law came to my home. Despite my expectations, she didn't get up until after 10 a.m. She has high blood sugar levels and avoids many foods. She could not eat what we eat. I had to cook special food just for her. Rather than relax, I had to do more work with her in our home. I tolerated this on the surface, but I felt so imbalanced. She seemed to be having a vacation here rather than taking care of my mother. After forbearing for a few days, I could no longer hold it in and complain to my mother. My mother understood me, but she was afraid of criticizing her daughter-in-law. She just advised me to endure. My heart was unsettled for a few days. One day, I suddenly thought, isn't this the display of jealousy? Master told us in Realms from Essentials for Further Advancement, quote, "A wicked person is born of jealousy. Out of selfishness and anger, he complains about unfairness toward himself. A benevolent person always has a heart of compassion. With no discontentment or hatred, he takes hardship as joy. an enlightened person has no attachments at all. He quietly observes the people of the world deluded by illusions. Unquote. Was I joyful? I felt like I was suffering instead. After cultivating for so many years, I was still at the level of a wicked person. I suddenly understood why a person cannot achieve consummation when jealousy is not removed. How can one reach a righteous fruition at the realm of a wicked person? Master said in Lecture 7 of Drawn Falun, quote, if in the course of cultivation, jealousy is not given up, one will not attain righteous fruition. Absolutely not. Unquote. I told myself to cultivate benevolence and to take hardship as joy. I told myself nothing is accidental, and nothing that happens to a cultivator is accidental. I told myself that Master saw my attachment and arranged for my sister-in-law to help me improve my character and that I can no longer miss the opportunity. Although I told myself this and thought the same in my heart, the bad thoughts kept springing up. I pressed them down and they sprung up again. I couldn't hold them down. I pressed them down and they sprung up again and again. My heart really felt uneasy. The attachment truly was a materially existing substance. So I kept reciting Master's article Realms from Essentials for Further Advancement. I told myself that human principles are reversed, that I'm a cultivator, that I must act according to a cultivator's criteria, and that I mustn't view things with ordinary people's principles. Gradually, the bad thoughts stopped springing up. When I read the Fa, I came across the principle from Lecture 4 of Drawn Falun, quote, gained four ways and one shot, unquote. I thought that just enduring my sister-in-law's behavior was not enough. I must thank her. I couldn't do this in the beginning. I forced myself to thank her in my heart. I must thank her. Without her performance, my attachment of jealousy would not have been exposed so thoroughly. Master must have seen that I was truly cultivating, so he took the bad substance from me. Now I feel calm when I look at my sister-in-law, and my heart is no longer uneasy. Rather, I thought, it's not easy for any of us. Let her rest for a couple of days. As I studied the Fa and looked deeper, I found that behind this unbalanced heart was the attachment of profit, seeking returns, liking compliments, showing off, validating myself, a competitive mentality, and a party culture, among others. I thank Master for this painstaking arrangement from the bottom of my heart. I had missed so many such opportunities in the past, and I really felt ashamed of that. Master had to put in more effort for me, as my enlightenment quality still remained so poor after cultivating for so many years. I will attentively study the Fa going forward, truly cultivate my heart, cultivate solidly, and follow Master home.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.